Testing, 1, 2, 3. This is the 21st of, the 20th of March, 1998. We are interviewing again Ivan Novick. This is Bess Karelitz and Ruth Weiner from National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History. Ivan, we are very delighted to be back to interviewing you again. When your note came to us that there was something that you neglected to talk about, we thought it was so interesting that we would like for you to tell us about it now. Won't you please tell us your other story now?
Well, thank you both for taking time to come back and listen to the details about what I thought was a very special trip that I was participated in. In July of 1986, as you may recall, I have been a friend of President Bush's for many years, from the time he was our representative to the United Nations and a congressman and ambassador to China, and it was a relationship based upon friendship, and I was introduced to him by a mutual close friend, Gordon Zaks of Columbus, Ohio, and then through my involvement as the president and subsequently chairman of the Zionist Organization of America during the Carter and Reagan administrations, as you recall from our previous conversations, I had the opportunity to be part of many state functions and many events that were hosted by the White House, the Department of State, as well as other areas of the government. And this gave me an opportunity to further enhance the relationship I had with Vice President Bush during his, he was Vice President to Ronald Reagan. And when he decided to run for the presidency, he began the process of forming a team of supporters, and I and seven others of the Jewish faith were asked to be part of this team, and we would meet from time to time, usually every few months, and the locale was usually the Roosevelt Room at the White House, which was available to the Vice President at that time. And we would plan how he would conduct his campaign, and it was, you know, a very exciting process. Then in July of 1986, the Vice President decided that he was going to take a trip to the Mideast, and the trip was to Israel, Jordan, Egypt and Syria, and we were invited. There were eight of us invited to be part of his official party to accompany him on the trip. And let me just share with you, who was on that trip. I won't tell you everyone, but one thing that you learn, I believe, we think that we have done some exciting things in our life. We think we've been part of, projects that are very exciting. But you finally learn what the term the trappings of power really mean, because you begin to understand why men and or women seek high office and what they're surrounded with, because this was a trip which certainly conveyed to us what it meant to be a high official in government service. The members of the official delegation were Ambassador Tom Pickering, who was the U.S. Ambassador to Israel, Craig Fuller, who was the Chief of Staff of President Bush as Vice President. He did not go up and stay with him when he became the president. He was not chief of staff, not that he wasn't asked, but he chose to leave government at that time. Ambassador Richard Murphy, Assistant Secretary of State for Near Eastern and South Asian Affairs, who later became, I believe, Ambassador to Korea. And then a very interesting gentleman, Frederick Kedouri, capital K-H-E-D-O-U-R-I. He was Assistant to the Vice President for Policy and Deputy Chief of Staff, and certainly an expert on the Mideast. And then there was Donald Gregg, Assistant to the Vice President for National Security Affairs. And let me amend that. I think it was Don Gregg who became the ambassador to Korea, not Mr. Murphy. Then Marlon Fitzwater, who was the Assistant to the Vice President and his press secretary, and he did go on to become his press secretary during his presidency. And then Jennifer Fitzgerald, who was the Executive Assistant to the Vice President and Assistant to the Vice President for Legislative Affairs, a very, very lovely, intelligent person. Ambassador Robert Pelletreau, who was the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for the Near Eastern and the South Asian Affairs. Pelletreau is spelled capital P-E-L-L-E-T-R-E-A-U. And a name that I think is familiar to everyone, Dennis Ross, who was the Special Assistant to the President and Senior Director for Near Eastern and South Asian Affairs. Mr. Ross, you know, has come to be a very important factor for many, many years. And I think it's interesting to note, I asked him during our conversations about his background, and he served on the National Security, as a National Security Advisor for President Carter, as a Democrat. And he was very concerned about the direction that the National Security Council was going under the leadership at that time, I think it was Eugene Myers. And he volunteered to serve a Republican administration if he could be helpful in affairs having to do with Israel in the Mideast, where he felt that his expertise could be helpful. So this was a really first trip to Dennis to the Mideast in his official capacity as a special assistant to the president. And of course, he was quite interesting to talk with all times. And then there was Thomas Collamore, capital C-O-L-L-A-M-O-R-E. He was a deputy assistant to the vice president and staff secretary. And then there's many others that were there with official capacity who worked for the government. I just mentioned a couple. I like to mention Clark Judge. He was the director of speech writing. They had a video technician there. They had Patty Presock, P-R-E-S-O-C-K. She was the secretary to the vice president, who became his secretary when he was president. And I've always felt fortunate that we got along very well, because if you really wanted to get things done or get an answer to something, Patty was the one to talk to. And also with us was David Valdez, who was the photographer. He was the official White House photographer. And I always thought how important they must have thought this mission was when they sent the official White House photographer, you know, along with the group. And a tremendous support system. Lisa Piasek represented the Department of State, P-I-A-C-E-K. And they had Kathy Smith, who was the secretary to the Fuller. And let me just mention some of us who were we nicknamed ourselves the Gang of Eight. And one was Paul Borman from Detroit, whose family was very prominent in the grocery business. And second was Joe Gildenhorn from Washington, D.C., a builder primarily of office buildings. Joe became our ambassador to Switzerland for a period of 4 years. Barbara Gold, an activist from Chicago, very prominent member of the community. Richard Goldman, whose family is, you know, very involved in all things in San Francisco. Jay Kislak, who came from Miami. Jay was in New Jersey, and Jay was in the mortgage banking business. It was myself, and Jack Stein, who had previously been the in the Department of Public Liaison, handling what we would call the Jewish desk at that time, and I've never really made this, and told this story to anyone outside the family, but I was asked during the Reagan administration if I would consider taking that position, and I came within an eyelash of saying yes, but for reasons that I felt important at the time, I said no, and I've never looked back, because someone gave me the wonderful advice that said, once you work for the administration, you lose your input and your influence. As long as you don't work for them, you might have more fun being involved. And I always thought that was good advice. And of course, my friend Gordon Zaks from Columbus, Ohio, whose company is the R.I.G. Barry Company, they make all the slippers, they're a very successful company. In any event, that was the group, and we went first to, we met in Washington, D.C. at Andrews Air Force Base, and then we went first to Frankfurt, Germany. We went to the airfield there, which was called the Rhein-Main Air Base, which is in Frankfurt, West Germany. And we met there by Ambassador Richard Burt, the ambassador of the United States to West Germany, and it was like a stop, you know, like B-U-R-T, kind of B-U-R-T. And we were treated, you know, wonderfully, and I got to go back and think about the trip over. Because we traveled on Air Force One, I learned that also for the first time, the only difference between Air Force One and Air Force Two is who's on the plane. If the president's on the plane, it's Air Force One, and if the vice president's on the plane, it's Air Force Two. So I learned that. And the plane is laid out in a wonderful manner. There's a section at the front where the vice president has a suite of rooms. And by the way, Barbara Bush was with us on the trip. She was the most important part of the trip. And then you have an opportunity to interface and dialogue with all the members of the party. And we were, the vice president made us actually members of the official party, so that we would be able to go anywhere and everywhere, and I'll relate to that in an interesting story a little bit later. So on the trip over, I had the occasion, I was one of the hosts for actually, the vice president was the host in his home in Washington, D.C., but I was the chairman of bringing together a group of people to meet the vice president at that time before, you know, I guess he was going to be running for office, for higher office. And at that time, my wife Mary came, and she and Barbara became really, really friends, and as well as with the president. And we had the occasion to be with him a number of times. So they always referred to her as mayor. And on the trip over, the vice president came back to where I was sitting and sat down. He said, you know, why don't we give mayor a call? And at that time, we were flying over Yugoslavia, so we had left the Rhein Air Base to go to Israel. And they tell you you're going to fly over Belgrade at 8:02:30, that's when you fly over Belgrade. And anyway, we pick up the phone, and they're having trouble getting Mary on the phone. So finally, the story is, Mary had been out the night before, came home, and unfortunately had an obscene phone call. And she hung up the phone. And so that was the night before. So now the next night, she's home. It was a Saturday night, actually. And the phone rings again, and she picks it up, and the woman says, this is the White House calling. And Mary said, please give me a break, and she hung up. So the party called back and said, please don't hang up, this is really the White House. And we're trying to reach Mary Novick, we have a call for you. So she finds her, and put the call through, and it was the vice president on the phone talking to her and saying hello. It was 2:30 in the morning in Pittsburgh, so he said, we don't feel badly about calling because Ivan says you're a very good sleeper and you'll go right back to sleep. So So we talked from the plane, and it was very nice. Those are the kinds of things that George Bush did for everyone. He always reached out to make people comfortable and to do little personal things that all the people would always remember. Very sensitive man. In any event, back to the airbase. That was just, as they say, a stopover. The ambassador took us to dinner, and there was always a lot of photo opportunities, and we had a chance to look at the base. We went into town and had dinner there. The ambassador arranged a very lovely dinner. And then the next day, we all got together, got back to the plane. And of course, you don't lift a thing. You don't carry a bag. You don't even see it until it arrives in the hotel room. It's a wonderful way to travel. So we then got on a plane and go to Israel. And we get to Israel, and we go straight. It's to fly to Jerusalem. And we go straight to the airport there, and there's a went into Ben Gurion, and then we were welcomed by the Speaker of the Knesset, that was Shlomo Galal, and then we're all escorted to the VIP room, and then we all leave for Jerusalem. We arrived for the official opening ceremony, which was in the Rose Garden, and we are met by a number of people, led by, at that time, the Prime Minister, Mr. Peres. And from the airport to Jerusalem for the official welcoming ceremony, everybody is assigned a car with the driver. And before you leave, if you'd like to look at some of the pictures, I have a number of pictures with my driver, who is a lovely young lady. And in my car, I believe, is Paul Gorman and Joe Gilderman. We drove together. So we went to the official opening, and truly the red carpet was actually out. I mean, they had a red carpet on the ground, and and as I say, the Prime Minister was there, and the Speaker of the Knesset was there, and it was, there were the gun salutes and everything. It was just very official, and then the Vice President introduces his official party to the Prime Minister. And I tell the story about how every time I would go to Israel over a period of 10, 15 years in official capacity, and most of the time Mr. Peres was not in the government, he was leader of the opposition, and I would always stop to see him no matter. So one day in his office he said to me, I don't understand. He said, we all know of your relationship with Mr. Begin. He said, I could never understand why you come to see me all the time when you come to Jerusalem. I said, I come, Mr. Peres, because I respect you, and who knows? I said, someday you may be Prime Minister. So he never smiled. He didn't, but that was my answer to him. Well, this particular day, the Vice President says, Mr. Prime Minister, I don't know if you know Ivan Novik. He put his arms around me. He said, "Mr. Novik, one of my oldest friends." everybody was just in such a good mood, and it was just a very exciting kind of thing to be part of something like this. And I don't think it happens very often. Well, then, after the official opening, we went to the King David Hotel, and. And from there, we went to a couple of hours. We were there for an hour or so, and then we went to Yad Vashem. And we went to the Martyrs and Heroes Memorial, and there was a wreath-laying ceremony in the Remembrance Hall. And it was a very, very moving ceremony, and the vice president's his remarks were very moving. There wasn't a dry eye in the house. And Mary happened to pull the pictures out from me today, and they're very meaningful. After the wreath-laying ceremony, we went to the Western Wall, and the wreath-laying ceremony, we did not go to the Western Wall. Everyone was pretty tired by then, and we went back to the King David Hotel, and we rested for a couple of hours. And then we had a briefing with Ambassador Tom Pickering, who brought us up to date on the politics of the region. And from there, we went to for a meeting at 6:30 with the Vice Premier, who at that time was Mr. Shamir. If you recall, each one was serving 2 years as Prime Minister. And at that point, Mr. Peres was Prime Minister and Mr. Shamir was the Vice Prime Minister. We met with him, and then from after the meeting with Mr. Shamir, we went for a meeting with Prime Minister Shimon Peres in his office, and we were there for about an hour, and then we went over to the Knesset, and at the Knesset there was an official dinner at the Knesset, which was hosted by Mr. Peres. And there were probably about 250 people there. All of the, dignitaries of the State of Israel were there, and it was a very lovely evening. And time was taken for everybody really to get to know each other. I mean, introductions were made throughout the evening. And then we, after the dinner, we left the Knesset and we went back to the hotel. The next morning, we met Teddy Kollek, and we met him at the. We took a walking tour, and went to the Citadel and the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, the Market, the Jewish Quarter, the Cardo, Western Wall, the Dome of the Rock. A real extensive tour, and what was I often hoped, wished that I had had a recording machine that I had been using to catch the remarks, in particular, of Teddy Kollek, because we were together for an extended period of time, and he was very humorous throughout the time. And we stopped, and there's no one like the mayor of Jerusalem to explain Jerusalem to you. And then after we concluded the tour, and we went back to the King David Hotel. And then we had a meeting. We then went from there. We went to an absorption center. We went to the Bassaret Zion Absorption Center, and we visited the children's summer camp, at the center, and we met with the families. And there were wonderful photos of all of us interacting with the children, interacting with the parents. We actually had an extended period of time in their homes, and then we had a private lunch with a group of Soviet families. And it was, again, I thought Mrs. Bush was particularly moved at everything that she saw. And then we left there. We went to the King David. And we went to the King David Hotel, and then we had private time for about 3 hours. And then later that day, about 5 o'clock, we went to the Van Leer Institute. And there we had a meeting with young Israeli leaders. And when they say young Israeli leaders, they may have been young, but they were mature. They really were leaders of industry and media, and manufacturing, and the dialogue that was had was on a very sophisticated level between someone like the vice president and the presidents of these and managers of these various companies. We then left after that meeting. We went to the American consulate, and while we were at the American consulate, there was a reception, hosted by the American community in Jerusalem for all of us. And then we went back to the reception. We went back to the hotel because we actually went to the Hilton. Went to the Hilton Hotel because the vice president was going to host a dinner on behalf of the prime minister. Each one had a dinner in honor of the other. And after the dinner was concluded, we went back to the King David Hotel, and that took care of Monday. So we're now through Sunday and Monday. On Tuesday morning, we went back to the Rose Garden helipad, and we took helicopters. And again, there are pictures of everything that we did, everywhere we went. And I was always pleased that I was at one of my lower weights at that time, so the pictures didn't come out too badly. And then we went to Sedebo Care. That's where we went, and we went to Ben Gurion's tomb, and there was a wreath laying ceremony at the tomb. And then, in addition, after the ceremony, we went to the Desert Research Center in Sedebo Care, and then we went to Ben Gurion's residence, and we toured Ben Gurion's home. And there were, at all times with us, there were a lot of children. There were children with us at all times, and when we took time out for a little refreshments or just to catch our breath, we were always surrounded by Israeli children. It was really very interesting. And the vice president broke the mode a little bit, and he said, and in the park-like area, he said, let's all sit down here and let's talk a little bit. So for about 20 minutes, a half an hour, we just sat around, and the children were exceptional. They couldn't ask enough questions. It was a very interesting...
When you say children, about what age?
Oh, they were probably, I would say, from 4 or 5 to 12. They were younger children. Mm-hmm. Then
give some examples. What kind of questions? You remember?
I'll see if I can remember.
Anything.
Well, one of the questions I remember was one little boy asked what I'd like living in the United States, which I thought was, Mr. Vice President, would you tell me about what it would be like if I lived in the United States? And another little guy asked, did that airplane bring you all the way over the ocean? How long did it take? And then one asked, do you have any children? And Barbara Bush said, well, my children are older, but I have grandchildren. How many grandchildren do you have? And one little brother, do you travel a lot? Do you see your grandchildren very often? And she said, her answer was, as much as I can. And they were just typical questions that the children would ask. They didn't ask any political questions of any kind. They were all just ordinary questions that you would ask a grandparent or a parent. They weren't questions of political depth. Because that's what most of the questions were like. Well, I remember one question, do you like the food in Israel? That was one of the questions one of the children asked. And how long, are you going to stay here a long time? Just children like that. It was very nice. Mrs. Bush was absolutely exceptional in this kind of a setting. She really was. Then we left the there, and we went to the Hatzurim Air Base. We're back on a helicopter and back down to the air base.
What is the air base?
Hatzurim, capital Hatzerim. And we toured the air base, and then there was a luncheon, and we were met there by Yitzhak Rabin, who was defense minister. And sometimes I forget to tell you, there was the person who was the highest minister in that department would always be there. He was never the director general. He was always the head of the department or the defense minister, in case may be.
End of tape one, side one.
By members of the defense staff. And okay, I'll pick it up here. It was a very interesting thing happened. Mr. Rabin said that there was going to be a very in-depth